today's topic,
Jesus prayed all night.
And the main verse that we're going to be looking off of or starting with is Luke 6, verse 12, where we're just told Jesus went up on a mountainside to pray, and he prayed to God all night. Short, sweet, to the point. Now, for those of you who know where this might be going, we have a thing called the Jesus Life Step, which is just a recommendation of what you can do to follow in this example of Jesus. And if you're afraid of where this is heading to, I'll just put your fears to rest and tell you, yes, that's exactly what I'm going to ask you to do. The Jesus Life Step, that it doesn't have to be done this week, but is spend a night praying, alone or in a group of people. Now, for some people, that seems really scary to start with, but I wanted to at least tell you that ahead of time so you're not worrying the whole time. At least you know that's what I'm going to ask you to do. But before we talk about that, I want to talk to you about buying flowers for your wife. It'll make sense. So buying flowers, I'm terrible at it. And there are several reasons for that. One reason is this. It's just not that exciting for me to do, to buy flowers for. I'm not saying flowers aren't nice, but like, I like to write songs. I like to make music. So if she wanted me to play her a song every week, like that would be, okay, great, that's better. But flowers just don't do anything for me. Also, there are more important things than flowers in our relationship. Some of them I'm good at, some of them I'm not. Such as spending time with her family and being good with her family. Christine really appreciates that when I do it. And so I put in a little more effort that I think is a little more important than making sure she has flowers. And then there are things that I'm not necessarily good at, like she'd probably like me to clean a little bit more around the house or things like that. And not that flowers are bad, but I think she'd rather I get better at those things. So maybe I should focus more attention on doing those things that are important. Flowers aren't super expensive, but it's still money. And there are things that she and I like to do together, like we like to travel. Or even just this last week, we went up for a couple days to see her mom in Amsterdam. Well, you do have to pay for gas just to go up there. So if I don't spend the money on flowers, then we have a little extra money to be able to still do things that she and I like to do. And so there is purpose for that. Another reason why I don't think I'm a big flower person, which may be wrong, I've seen so many stories of guys, and know some in person, that they use flowers as a way of hiding the fact that they're not good at doing other things. Like, oh, I didn't spend time with my wife, but I got you flowers. Oh, I haven't done that thing that you kept asking me to do, but I got you flowers, as though flowers is supposed to fix everything. And I don't want to be that kind of guy. I would rather actually do the things well than just get her flowers to kind of pretend like I'm doing well or to hide that fact. Other reasons? It was her birthday last Sunday. And other people got her flowers. So she already has flowers. Why does she need more flowers? And other people who like flowers more than I do, so they're probably better at getting flowers. So are my flowers really going to mean so much to her? And we live in a house that has like a little garden outside, and there are flowers there. We have roses right when you walk outside. We already have flowers. Like, why would I need to get more? So after hearing all of my reasons for why I'm not a big flower person, how many of you still think I should probably get Christine flowers every now and again? You're not convinced. Okay. But you know that flowers aren't the most important thing in a relationship, right? But you still want me to get flowers. Flowers aren't necessary to be a good husband, right? But you still think I should get them? Okay. Well, I'll work on it. Now, here is why I bring up all of that. I think all-night prayer, we can approach that same way. We can come up with all of these really good reasons of why we don't do it. You know, prayer is just, it's a good thing, but it's not really my thing, you know? Like, there's other stuff I do. And in the scheme of things that God has asked us to do, like love your neighbor as yourself, that's maybe a little more important than praying all night long, or don't worry, or heal the sick and cast out demons, or living with the fruit of the Spirit and being joyful and all those things. And we can go, there's a lot more things on that list that are maybe more important than doing that. And some of them, maybe you're really good at. Some of them, you're not good at. And you go, well, I should put my attention to getting better at the really important, necessary things. And praying all night long just isn't the top of that list. Or it could be, well, there are plenty of other people, like, there's other people praying all the time, then do I really need to be doing it if other people in the church are doing it, you know? Or, well, I do pray during the day. Why should I pray extra? Like, if I'm already praying, why do something like that? And one of the ones that I think is biggest for me is this. I see some people who use prayer just the same way that husbands can use flowers, that there are big issues in the relationship with God. But they just go, well, if I do these super spiritual things, like, well, I'm fasting a lot, or I'm praying all night long, or however many hours I've prayed, and they sort of use that as a way to try to buy forgiveness or try to hide some things of like, oh, well, maybe they have huge family issues, maybe they're unfaithful with money, maybe they're not doing all these other things, but as long as I prayed 4 hours yesterday, then they make you feel like they're really spiritual. And I don't want to be that kind of a Christian, just like I don't want to be that kind of a husband. And so we can come up with all of these reasons why it's not necessary to pray all night long to have a good relationship with God. And you know what? Totally true. But at the same time, I think it can be something precious to God. And just like a woman loves to receive flowers, I think God loves to spend time with his children. And when we go that little extra step, I think it's something that he can enjoy. Because honestly, when was romance ever about just doing what is necessary for the relationship? You don't just do what's necessary. You go over the top. Sometimes it's crazy when you're romantically involved with someone. So in a relationship with God, I think, is the same way. So maybe it's not the most important. I'm not going to tell you to be a good Christian, you need to pray all night long. And if you haven't done it, you're a bad Christian. No. But I think it can be precious to God nonetheless. Two reasons why. Number one, the example of Jesus. We already saw Jesus, he prayed all night long. And another example is this one. In Matthew 14, it's in between two big miracles. One of them is when Jesus feeds the 5,000 people. There's a bunch of people, they're hungry, Jesus multiplies the food, gives it to them, they get well fed. And then after that, we see the story of Jesus walking on the water out to the disciples who are in the middle of the storm. Well, in between is this moment. Jesus has just fed the 5,000, he sends the disciples away, he sends the crowd away, and Jesus went up on a hill by himself to pray. When evening came, Jesus was there alone. So it starts in the evening, and then between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came to the disciples. So we're told he's praying from evening until 3 or 6 o'clock in the morning. I mean, this is like, it's maybe not all night long, but we're getting pretty close. In other versions, it says between the third and fourth watch of the night. Just the updated version says between 3 and 6 o'clock, because that's about what it was. So Jesus, we have at least two examples of Jesus spending long times in prayer over a night period. Well, why does he do it? Two of the quick things I think of it. In the first example, when we saw Jesus went up on a mountainside and he prayed all night long, right after that is when he chooses and installs his 12 disciples, which I think we're going to look at next week. So to me, it looks like Jesus was taking that time to pray for guidance of, okay, God, who are the 12 men I'm supposed to choose? And then to be praying for those 12 men. Jesus later does say to Peter, like, hey, I've prayed for you. So I think Jesus uses it as a way of when he's seeking guidance. In this instance, I think a big reason why he does it is to be processing emotions. The reason why I say that is before Jesus feeds the 5,000, he finds out that his cousin, who we know as John the Baptist, had just been killed. And so we're told Jesus hears the news, and he takes his disciples, and he tries to get away from the crowd. But that doesn't really work. The crowd follows him, and then it says he has compassion on him, and he feeds all of them. But then he sends his disciples away, and he sends the crowd away, and then he gets time alone. And I think that that's also part of what Jesus was doing, was he had just lost someone who was very important to him, and he wanted to have some time just to get to pray. And sometimes that's good, to get alone and have hours sometimes just to work through stuff emotionally with God, and not to hide your feelings and not to hide some of those emotions. So the first reason about praying all night long, because that's what we're really focusing on, is Jesus' example. The second one I want to give is an example of extravagance that we see in the Bible. There's this time where Jesus is eating at somebody's house. A woman walks in. She has this jar of perfume. She breaks the whole thing open and anoints Jesus with it. And some of the guests, when they see this, are like, ugh, this is a waste of money. Sure, it smells nice, but like that could have been used for so many better things. Why would you waste all this money, all this perfume, just on anointing Jesus? And Jesus responds back to them. It's like, excuse me, leave her alone. What she did was a good thing. And when the gospel is told, people are going to speak about her admiringly, that this was a good thing, that she was extravagant. She didn't just give what was appropriate. She didn't just do what everyone else expected her to do. She actually went beyond and did it because she could, because she was willing. It was a type of extravagance that was good. Now, for those that were here last week, well, what about this whole idea of I desire mercy and not sacrifice? Well, this is a big sacrifice, right? Like, that's not really what God is looking for. Well, in that statement, let's go back to the flower analogy, right? If I get flowers for Christine and I hand them to her and say, here you go, I bought you the most expensive flowers I could find, you better like them. I was supposed to do it. You think she's going to go for that? No. Because if you're doing a sacrifice and saying, I'm doing the sacrifice because I have to, I'm doing the sacrifice because it will make you happy and you better be happy with it, which is the way people treat God all the time. Well, I did this, so God should be pleased with me. That's then coming from the wrong kind of mentality. But then let's look at flowers this way. If I go up to Christine, I hand her flowers and say, I was walking around, I saw these flowers, and they were beautiful. Though not quite as beautiful as you are, but I just wanted to get them for you. And I hand them to her. Do you think that'll be received better? That's a sacrifice that's then appreciated because it's given to cherish that person. It's given to honor that person, not as a way of getting credit for yourself. So, yes, Jesus says, God desires mercy, not sacrifice. The kinds of sacrifices he looks for are extravagant honoring of him, where it comes out of a heart that desires to please him. And that's what this woman did. She opens this perfume and pours it on Jesus, and she anoints him. And she's doing it because she cherishes him. Now, you can have this, well, great story, but what is perfume and flowers? What's that all have to do with prayer? That's kind of reaching a little bit, don't you think? Maybe, but there is biblical precedent for it. Psalm 141, verse 2. The psalmist says, let my prayers rise like sweet perfume, like incense before you, God. And again, in the New Testament, the book of Revelation, chapter 8, verse 3 and 4, we're told that angels have these censers that are filled with incense, the sweet perfume, and they're mixing the prayer of people with this perfume, and the prayer and perfume is rising together before God. So I'm not going to tell you every time in the Bible that you see perfume that it's actually talking about prayer instead. Sometimes I think perfume is perfume. But there is this kind of connection that I think it's valid to look at it and say, this woman who is being extravagant and pouring perfume at Jesus, it sort of does give us a similar picture of this, where perfume and prayer kind of go together. And maybe we should be willing to be extravagant sometimes in our prayer. We should be willing to do something crazy like stay up all night long just so that we can talk to God. Christine and I, back in 2012, we went to Kenya. And while we were there talking with people, we had this moment where like, we're meeting them for the first time. Oh, it's so great to meet you. We've been thinking about you and we've been praying for you. And they said, oh, we've been praying for you guys. We were praying all night just last week. We had an all-night prayer meeting and we were praying just for you guys. And you have this moment where you're like shaking their hand. And you're like, yeah, we prayed for you too. For like 15 minutes at a time. We did pray, but felt like such a loser because these people have been praying all night long for me. I'm like, I'm... Oh. So we went back the next year. And because I love the other team members, I went, I'm not going to let you feel like a loser. What we're going to do is we're going to do an all night of prayer ahead of time. That way when people say that to you, you'll be able to say, yeah, we did too. And that way you won't feel so silly. It's honest. And I think probably Nellie and I were the only people who had ever tried something that, like, oh, let's pray all night long. I think they would say, wow, that was a good experience. I'd totally be willing to do it again if Matthew told me I had to do it. If you paid attention to the Jesus life step, then I kind of am already telling you to do it. But, you know, here's some points that I know people ask or some of that. Sometimes the question is, well, shouldn't I just, like, work my way up to it? I maybe have never prayed for 1 hour, much less multiple hours. My average is more like 5 minutes. So, I mean, maybe it's like exercise where you try to set an attainable goal. You don't go for too big at one time because then you're going to try it once, give up, and you'll just never do it again. I can see the logic in that. Just from my own experience, this is what I see what happens. People who say, okay, I'm going to start with 10 minutes, and then next week I'm going to do 20 minutes, and next week I'm going to do 30 minutes, and I'm going to slowly work myself up to it. I haven't seen them have any better success at actually doing it because eventually they stop. So you can work yourself up to it slowly. If it'll work for you, great. But I'm just going to say, give it a shot. Dive all in. Just go for it. Recommendation. Not thus saith the Lord, just my recommendation. A random thing that I found interesting about it is this. When I had gone to Cambodia, I was 18 years old, and we're talking with this guy who's helping us out with the church, and he said, oh, yeah. Yeah, last night I was up all night praying, and then now I'm going throughout my day. I thought, this guy is crazy. Like, this is normal for you? He's like, yeah, we do that a couple times. It's just a regular thing for him. And when we went to Kenya, the same thing. So what I find interesting is this. Normally, if people are from a comfortable country, like the West, most of the Western world, we think, why would you make yourself uncomfortable and pray all night long? That's really weird. People who are from places where you're just used to life isn't always going the way you want it are normally more okay with this idea. And just like, yeah, sure, I'll pray all night long. So what that's supposed to say to you, I don't know, but maybe your lack of willingness to do it, check your comfort level and how much are you willing to push yourself. I think sometimes it's better for people who are from comfortable environments where we always have what we want to do some of these disciplines, like fasting or praying for longer periods of time, because it teaches us, you know what, my comfort isn't the most important thing, and when God asks me, I want to be ready to do whatever it is. But again, I'm not saying that this is what's going to give you a good relationship with God, that this is what a cure-all for everything. It's just something we saw Jesus did, so let's follow his example. Another recommendation is this. Pray with other people. It helps you. If you fall asleep, they can punch you or talk to you or push you or be nice. But when you're by yourself, it's a whole lot harder. Trust me, I've tried. You can pray by yourself. Jesus did. If you want to go all the way with the example, do that. But having other people there. So then the question is, what do I do all night? I mean, do I just sit there and fold my hands and close my eyes? Because if you're going to make it through multiple hours, that will be hard. I give you that. Here are just some things that can be a part of it. One, use the Bible. You can spend time reading. And then there are different prayers in the Bible that can kind of be a starting point. Like the Lord's Prayer, right? A lot of us know that. So it starts, Our Father who is in heaven. You read that and then take some time to just go, okay, God, what does that mean that you're my Father? And thank him that he's that. Okay? The next one, hallowed be your name. Okay, God, I can think of two examples from just the last 2 days when I was at work of people who used your name in a way that wasn't honoring you. And God, I pray for those people that they would want to honor you, honor your name, and use it in a way that's glorifying you. I pray that movies that so often misuse God's name, that they would want to honor him. And go through like that. And just, if you don't know what to pray for, just look in the Bible, find a sentence, and start praying from there. It can be helpful. Another thing, music. Music helps keep you awake, uses your mouth, sometimes uses your body if you're the kind of person that likes to dance or raise your hands. Blood circulation, really helpful in staying awake. So It can be for a spiritual reason. It can be for a completely physical reason. Have some music. It helps you stay awake. Another thing that I'd done one time in university with people is we kind of went through what happened the night of Jesus being arrested. The night didn't end with us getting arrested. Don't worry. But like Jesus is sharing communion with his disciples. And so we had communion. You can even have a meal with people. At that time, Jesus also washed his disciples' feet. And so we spent some time to wash each other's feet and then pray for one another. And you can do some of those physical things that keep you moving. Another one is to split up. If you're praying with people, it can be good to have times where it's just you praying by yourself and each person is praying privately. Then maybe pray in pairs where I pray for you, you pray for me, and that's happening. And then there are times where it's good to pray all together. And that way, you're kind of mixing it up as you go. And then other things, just be creative. There are some people who like to journal, and they write out a prayer. Some people who like to paint, or you can do things that are expressing yourself to God, because prayer is conversation, expression, communication. So you can find what kind of works best for you, but those are some ideas, and you can search online, like, how do I stay awake while praying? I'm sure you'll find stuff. I haven't Googled it yet, but you'll find stuff. So those are some ideas, if you're willing to go ahead and do it. So our Jesus life step, again, spend a night praying, alone or in a group. It can be whenever. Our power verse, Luke 18, verse 1, says this. Jesus told them a story showing that it was necessary for them to pray consistently and never quit. I'm not here necessarily telling you a story for it, but the idea is hopefully you've been encouraged to pray consistently and never quit. So Jesus' example was he prayed all night long. We have the example of extravagance, of doing something more than what we have to, because that's a lot of what relationship is. That's what builds that closeness, is when you step out and maybe do more than what you have to, and you just do it for the joy of seeing the other person honored and cherished. If you would like to get the chance to do that, and you go, well, does the church have a way of helping me? This Friday to Sunday, we have this 48-hour prayer thing. If you remember that, that's a great opportunity to jump in and go, if I'm going to try this whole pray all night thing, well, here's one good opportunity. Cedric has a room in his house, and people can go there. They can also sleep, which is good. Cedric has said, hey, if people want to come over to my house, we have a room where there are all these things. There are Bibles, there's music, there's stuff that you can paint with, there's stuff that you can draw on. So if you'd want to go to that, that's a great place to get to pray. Or you can do it at your house. You can find friends on Facebook and say, hey, let's all just meet up at my house, and we're going to pray from, maybe you do start smaller, like we're going to pray from like midnight until 2 o'clock, or whatever. But that's an opportunity that you can use.